sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
You can, I think. It's good to be with you. Today I want to share along the line, that I may dwell among them. That I may dwell among them. And my text comes from Exodus 25. We'll start reading with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood. Oil of the light for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet smelling incense. Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The heartbeat of God is that He dwell among us. That's always been His heartbeat. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, we find that Adam and Eve were visited each day by Him in the evening, in the cool of the evening. He has always had a desire to dwell among His children. Today it's no different. He still wants to dwell among us. And there's something I'd like to pinpoint today, an exciting story, and one that's maybe unusual because not a lot of people share this type of story. It's a type and shadow of what has taken place. But I would like to share this with you. Let's talk about the Wilderness Tabernacle. My people around here will say, yep, there he goes again, Wilderness Tabernacle. It's an exciting story. First of all, let me take you into the Wilderness Tabernacle, and then with Jesus, we'll come back out of it. We go in under the law. We come out under grace. We come out with mercy. We come out set free. Now, if we go into the very gate of the Wilderness Tabernacle and we step into the courtyard, the first thing that we come upon is the altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice. And that altar of sacrifice is where the lamb was brought, was slain, and there sacrificed for the sins of Israel. When you go beyond that, you come to the laver, full of water, which is baptism. And we are immersed there. You have to work your way into the tabernacle. Then you get into the holy place. And in the holy place, there is the table of showbread. There is the golden lampstand. There is the altar of incense. You'll be going on past the veil. You go on past the curtain about 1 foot thick. And you come to the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. There was only one man, one time a year, that ever got to go into the Ark of the Covenant, into the mercy seat, and that was the high priest. The high priest went in once a year, sanctified, would sprinkle the blood of the Lamb on the mercy seat. That's where the presence of God dwelt. It came down through the top of the tabernacle, right into the very mercy seat and sat there, and that's where the presence of God rested. And you under law could not go into that place at all, for if you were to step beyond the veil, anyone but the high priest, and that only once a year, if you went in there, you would die. There was nothing but judgment upon you in law. Nothing but judgment. But Jesus came from the mercy seat and came out to greet us so we could go in with Him and go in with grace and mercy. Now let me explain how He came out. Jesus is God. He's man and he's God. He came to Bethlehem as a mere baby. He was born God and man. Now he knows both sides of the world. Well, say, doesn't the Father know both sides? Of course he does. But Jesus lived it on earth for a reason. And that reason was for you and me, that he might taste of what we taste so we can taste of the glories of God. So let's talk about Jesus being the God, or being God on the mercy seat. He came down off the mercy seat and started to walk out of the Holy of Holies. He is our high priest. Always remember that. Jesus is the high priest. He came off of the mercy seat, turned his back to mercy. Give that a thought. Turned his back to mercy. Full of mercy, but received no mercy. Jesus was full of mercy, but received no mercy. Can you imagine that? Now, as he walked away from the mercy seat, he came through the veil, and he remained in the holy place for a while. This would be his ministry. This is the ministry of Jesus in the holy place. Well, let's talk about it. First of all, when he came out of the veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, he met the altar of incense. The altar of incense was the place of prayer. There's one thing that Jesus expects of all of his children, and that is to communicate with him. And there you'll find him in the scriptures. You'll find him in the gospels. You'll find him there praying to the Father. You'll find him getting away, going to the mountaintop, and there praying with the Father. You'll go and find him in the desert. What's he doing? He's praying. You follow him to Gethsemane, and he's praying. He's praying. Always communicating with the Father. He did that for a reason. Well, there's more than one. Number one, he constantly wanted to be in contact with his Father, that he do his will every moment of the day. Number two, he did it as an example unto us. We are not going to have a victorious Christian life unless we are on our knees praying, and that sweet smelling savor of praise and glory and petition is coming up before the Father. It is not going to make you victorious if you don't stop at the altar of incense. And then if you look upon the south side of the wall, you're going to find a great menorah. The menorah gives light. Well, Jesus is the light of the world. Also, the menorah represents the Word of God. Well, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word. The Bible tells us that Jesus, or God, is the Word. He came and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. He is the Word. And he gave us the Word. He gave us, in the four Gospels, his sermons. We have them there, recorded, where he taught on the mountainsides, where he taught in the synagogues, where he taught one-on-one, where he taught to the multitudes. On the seaside, he taught. He constantly preached the Word, delivered us himself. And we might live a victorious life, being an overcomer. Scripturally, we are to be an overcomer now in this time. You can't just live like you want to live and be born again. You can't live like you want to live and be an overcomer. To be an overcomer means that you have fought a battle and you have won that battle. That's the thing. Win the battle. We just recently in our country went overseas to Saudi Arabia and fought a battle. We praise God we came out victorious. We're excited about that. We feel like that we have stopped aggression, at least for a little while. We overcame the enemy. But you see, as a Christian, it's a little different battle. We never are out of the battle till we get to glory. So we must overcome every day of our lives. We must win the battle every time we get up in the morning. We must set ourselves straight at the altar of incense, that prayer time, to overcome the battle of the day. Some of the battles are harder than others. Then Jesus would take us from the Word, take us to the north side, and there we would find the table of shewbread. Now, strangely enough, it was at the close of his ministry that he gave us the table of showbread. You see, the old table of showbread was just a type and shadow, but he's going to show us what that is. And so he was having Passover in the upper room with his disciples. Last night we celebrated a Passover meal. It was very exciting, very enlightening. And we found that it was the third cup of wine where Jesus began to bring forth communion. And we find John leaning to the left and resting upon Jesus. And Jesus says, "You see this bread? Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." He took the cup, and he says, "This cup is a New Testament in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." This happened just prior to the cross experience, just prior to the sacrifice. I'm sure his disciples at that point didn't really understand what he was doing. And so communion comes out of Passover. Every time your pastor has communion, you're celebrating Passover. Only this time we're not celebrating the little lamb that the children of Israel used in Egypt. We're dealing with the Lamb of God. We're dealing with the great I Am, the one who sacrificed for us that the death angel would pass over us. That ought to excite you. The next step, we find Jesus being baptized in River Jordan of John. Coming out of the holy place, we find him being baptized in his ministry in the outer court when he was doing his ministry, giving light to the world from the menorah, his word. And then he comes to the altar of sacrifice. It's where our Messiah picked up the cross, drug it outside of the city limits of Jerusalem. And there, the spotless lamb, the one that was perfect, the only creature in this universe who could pay a price for you and me that we might escape death, gave his life on that cross. And that's the cross experience. Jesus came all the way from the Holy of Holies, from the mercy seat where his throne was, and came all the way out, step by step, to the doorway. And here's where we come in. We now stand at the doorway and we enter into the outer court. The first thing that you are going to meet when you come into the outer court is the cross experience, the altar experience. Every time you go to church, your pastor will give an altar call. He'll say, "I'm giving you an opportunity to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to let you have the moment where you can meet Jesus face to face, where your heart can be changed, where your heart can have the abundance of joy that comes when the burden is lifted at Calvary." That's the sacrifice. That's where the lamb was slain. You only have to do that one time. One time. You come to the altar of sacrifice once. Jesus went to the altar of sacrifice once. Once for all. Let me tell you a little something. The priest never sat down in the tabernacle. Never. There was not one chair in the tabernacle, because their ministry was never finished. Never. They sacrificed day in and day out. They were constantly doing the work of the ministry, because under law, they could never find the grace they needed. They could never find the mercy they needed. But when Jesus died on the cross, when he became that sacrifice, he says, "It is finished." And when he came victorious from the grave, he came out of that grave, went to his heavenly Father, and sat down there. Why? Because redemption was finished once for all, never to sacrifice again. The work has been done for you. Well, when you get saved, your pastor will say, well, we need to baptize you in water. So that will be the next step. Of course, you will be immersed. And then you begin to operate in the holy place. Oh, I better talk about the holy place and the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died, that curtain, 1 foot thick, rent from top to bottom. And now the holy place and the Holy of Holies is one big room. We can come boldly before the throne of grace because when we enter into the church, once we are saved, we are baptized in water, we become baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want you to know that you operate in the holy place and in the Holy of Holies. You are directly in the presence of God 24 hours a day. You never leave His presence. He's with you. You should feel that. You should understand that. You should know what it is to feel the presence of God. Yeah, I know, but sometimes I have problems and I don't always feel the presence of God. And then there's sometimes you're doing things you shouldn't do and you don't want to feel the presence of God. But folks, any moment you stop and think, well, I need His presence, you'll sense it flood over you just like a blanket. You need to feel the presence of Almighty God with you every waking and sleeping moment of your life. And it's there for you. So now when we enter into the holy place, we're entering into the very Holy of Holies. So when Jesus escorts us in, when He escorts us in, think about this. He came out to meet you. He's bringing you into the holy place and the Holy of Holies, and He's with you there presently before the Father. When you kneel at that altar of incense, as I told you, Jesus expects you to kneel there. He expects you to pray to the Father. He expects you to communicate your needs and your wants and your pressures of life. He wants to hear your praises and your glorification. When you're there, Jesus is with you, interceding to the Father with you. He goes every place you go in that room, presenting you to the Father all the time. So when your prayers go up, they go up as a sweet-smelling savor, and Jesus is there to say, Father, listen to the music. Listen to the wonderful words that is coming up before us. That's one of your children that are praying. That's one of your children that are giving praises. That's one of your children that are giving glorification. That's one of your children, Father. Oh, let's bless them today. And you can sense the very presence of God envelop you when you're in that praise mode. When you're in that glorification of the Father, there is something special that happens. Why? Because Jesus is saying, Father, here's one of your children that are giving you the praise and adoration that you so deserve. Well, He takes us to the altar. Notice there's two altars. There's the altar of sacrifice. You came there once. You see, when you come to an altar for salvation, you really only need to come there once unless you want to turn your back on God and then you have to start over. If you want to walk away from the Father and you want to get away from Him and you don't want anything to do with His works and you leave it for a while, when you come back, you've got to start right at the beginning at the altar of sacrifice again. But notice, you kneel there once. As Jesus sacrificed there once, you don't need to come there once unless you backslide. The next thing is the water baptism. You really need to only go there once. As long as you're saved, that one time will do it. So there is another altar when you get into the holy place. This is your daily supplication. This is your daily praises. When you're going through a problem, when you're going through temptation, when you have made a mistake, when you have sinned, you go to the altar of incense, and there's where you begin to communicate with the Father. It is there that you begin to get victory. It's there that you overcome. This is only the beginning out here when we're at the altar of sacrifice. But inside, in that holy place, inside where the altar is, directly in front of His presence, that's where you work out the problems of life, right there. And then
you study the Word. You study this glorious book. That's represented in the menorah, the light. You're not going to receive spiritual light until you begin to comprehend the words that Jesus gave, the words the prophets gave, the words the apostles gave. You need the Word of God to be an overcomer. If you don't know what to overcome, how can you be an overcomer? It does not come naturally. Let me tell you a little story. When we went into battle in Saudi Arabia, we went overseas. We didn't go over there and say, well, we're going to fight, but I don't know how we're going to fight, and I don't know what the enemy does, and I don't know what they have, or anything like that. We had intelligence over there spotting out the enemy. We knew where they were, what they were doing. We knew what kind of firepower they had. We knew everything we need to know about them. Plus, we were well-versed in our own warfare. We knew who we were. We knew what we had. We knew how to use it. That's exactly what the Bible does. The Bible gives us instruction of who the enemy is and what kind of character he is and what kind of firepower he has. On the other hand, it also tells us exactly what kind of power we have in God, the firepower that's going to overcome the enemy, and he's going to tell us how to use it and give us knowledge and faith to use it, and then we can march in on the enemy and become the overcomer. Without this word, we're a loser. But with this word, we are a winner. We need to win. Study it. Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study the word of God, not just read it. We need to study it. I've told my people around here, I would prefer that you study one verse of scripture in a whole year and get the meaning of that scripture and understand that scripture and what it can do for you, rather than to read the whole Bible through and it just be a little reading program and you don't know what you read after you read it. Then we come to the communion. Say, well, yeah, I have a little problem with some terminology. And maybe they don't mean it like I take it, but you hear a lot of pastors say, you need to return to the cross. You need to return to the cross. If we're going to return to the cross, then we have to leave the holy place and the Holy of Holies to come back out into the courtroom to start over again. That's not the plan of God. But he gave us a place of reflection, and that's the communion table. When we come to the communion table, we come there and we do it in remembrance of him. Who? Jesus, who died for us. He says, take of this little bread, break it. This is my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Notice that we're reflecting on the cross. We're reflecting on the cross, but we didn't go back to it. See, a Christian don't need to go back to the cross. He's got an altar in there where he's at right now. He just goes to the altar. But we reflect on the cross. We never forget what Jesus did for us. All right? Now let's look at something else. You go past the altar of incense into the very presence of God. This is his throne room. And judgment is in the Ark of the Covenant. It's inside, but it's covered over with the mercy seat. And the mercy seat is covered with the blood of the slain lamb. Now again, you don't have to go back to the cross to find his blood. You can go to his mercy and find his blood. It's sprinkled on the mercy seat. The cherubims are looking down upon it. And there they watch the blood, the redemption of the world. Jesus turned his back on mercy, full of mercy, but received no mercy. When he hung on the cross, there was no mercy for him. No one came to his rescue. As a matter of fact, the Father himself turned his back on his only begotten Son and denied his own Son his presence because there was no mercy for him. Well, that sounds pretty bad to me. Well, I thank God that it was that way, because he paid the price of no mercy that we may obtain mercy. You see that? So now we come with Jesus into the Holy of Holies, and we come to the mercy seat, and we receive the mercy of God. Judgment is covered. We have brought our petitions. We are an overcomer, and we have prayed our way through this situation. We have come to the Father, and we have boiled out our problems, and we have prayed to Him. We've given our innermost being to Him, and He gives us mercy every day. We are covered with the blood of the Lamb, and He has set a place to dwell with us. Is it a building that He dwells with us? Well, we certainly can come together in a church or in any auditorium or in a park or any place where we come together. And of course, the presence of God is there with us. But you can be alone in a wilderness and the presence of God will dwell with you. You are now the tabernacle. You are now the temple of God. You are covered with the blood of the Lamb. You are one that can stand in the midst of trouble, surrounded with enemies. But you can be covered with the blood of the Lamb and you can have His presence with you. And it can be in you and all over you, and no matter what the problem may be, you can overcome because you are covered with His blood and covered with His mercy. In the wilderness, it was a cloud by day and a fire by night, and this fire by night was almost like a tornado that came down. You just step into the middle of this tornado, and nothing can penetrate that tornado. You are in a safe place. When you're in the Holy of Holies, standing in His presence, I want you to know that you're in a safe place. You are in a safe place when you come into the Holy of Holies. Now it's a choice. It's a matter of choice with you. What do you want to do with this mercy? You want to turn your back on mercy? I dare say if there was an enemy that came into our country, took you prisoner for no reason, you'd cry out for mercy. If they were going to imprison you or assassinate you, you would cry out for mercy. Have mercy on me, I've done nothing. And yet we act like God's mercy is something to step on. People today, you say, well, let me tell you about Jesus. I don't want to hear about that God stuff. Hey, that God stuff is His mercy. It's His mercy. I can't understand anybody who would not want the mercy of the Father. So I'd like to encourage you today. What are you going to do with His blood? Well, there's one other step beyond the mercy seat, and that's judgment. You see, there is a rapture that is going to take place where all of God's people are going to be taken out of this world. They're not going to have to deal with judgment. Well, what about the judgment seat of Christ? That's like an award assembly. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, when you come to Jesus Christ and you're covered with His blood, your sins are cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again. Now, I know that. You say, well, I don't know if that's true because I know church people that are always dragging up old sins on me or somebody else. Well, that's people. But God forgets. You know, they say God can do anything. That's not true. My Bible tells me that when my sins are cast in the sea of forgetfulness, He never remembers them. He can't remember what I've done. I'm a perfect little kid in His sight as long as I'm covered with the blood. I think that's a good deal. Well, what do I have to do to get this? You just simply come to a place, the sacrificial altar, kneel there and accept Jesus Christ, and from there, you go on. I know there's going to be an altar call given. And maybe you need to dedicate your life. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you've walked away from the mercy seat. Maybe you don't feel the mercy of God anymore. And it's time that you begin to feel it. It's time that you begin to sense the presence of God all over. And maybe you're dried up. Maybe you have just been a Christian that has just not been. It seems like every devil in hell has been coming against you. But now's the time to come and come to the altar that's in the Holy of Holies. And there, get a new touch from Him. Pray through. Get a new touch with God. Sense His presence all the time. Let's bow our hearts for a moment. Father,
It's been a joy to come to these wonderful people, to maybe assist in a thought or two, to help the pastors in their work in this beautiful land. We pray that today there would be those that would dedicate their lives and those that would rededicate their lives. And maybe those who have not stopped at the altar of prayer for a while, and they need to, and they want to come and now share the good things of God with Him alone in His presence. We give You thanks for this. We give You glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
I want to take just a moment as we're closing. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to ask Him to come into your heart and life today. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible tells us that. It's your day. It's your time. All you need to do is ask Him to come in. And all you've got to do that is sincerely in your heart to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me today. Come into my heart in Jesus' name. And you know what? He'll do it if you'll just ask Him. Won't you do it right now? May God bless you.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.